So we're going to continue, y'all, today in our sermon series, Unwrapping Christmas Gifts. And as I said last week, I was trying to make it clear, you know, I enjoy getting gifts for Christmas. Don't get me wrong. It's okay with me. But at the same time, Dion, it's okay with me if I don't. I'm at that age. I'm at that season of life where getting stuff is just really not the thing for me. You know what makes my heart skip a beat? It's to sit around this room, look around this room right now, and to see the blessed people of God. Yeah. To know that some of you are still dealing with the ups and downs of life, but God is yet still keeping you. Yeah. To know that you are blessed, that God still has a roof over your head, He's still providing for you, that does my heart good. Yeah. To see that my family is blessed, that they're healthy, and they're whole, and they're happy, does my heart good. But when I get a Christmas gift, I do like to see the gift wrapped up. Don't just get a greasy old brown paper bag and draw it up out the bag, no gift wrap, and say, here you go, is what you wanted for Christmas. Y'all, that's kind of deflating. It makes sense to me that if you're going to give a gift, I know some of the, I'm not the best rapper in the world, I am not, but take the effort. Try it and wrap the gift up in some paper, y'all. Put some tape on it and some ribbons and some bows and some stuff like that. Some of y'all shaking your head right now. That's not how I do it. See there. Come on, just try it. But here's how it works for me. Just to see it wrapped in that paper and the size of the box and the shape of it. I'm trying to figure out what's on the inside. I might give it a shake or something like that. And then I get the opportunity to unwrap it. And some of y'all, when y'all wrap up some gifts, y'all wrap them up. Y'all wrap them up with wallpaper. It's like, I'm like, hold on. I'm trying to open the thing up, and you finally get it open, and you see the gift inside. It was always is what you wanted. So the presentation is just as important in the process as we receive gifts, as we unwrap our Christmas gifts. But think about this. Each year we celebrate at this time the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the greatest gift that we could ever receive. But I wonder if we come into the Christmas holiday and out of it, and we never unwrap Jesus. That He stays wrapped up in the paper, y'all, that we don't unwrap Him and praise Him and give Him honor and give Him glory in this season. I wonder if we can get more excited sometimes, y'all, about material things than the Messiah. If we can get more excited about what we get at Christmas without thinking about the reality that God has given us the best gift that we could ever have in the person of Jesus Christ. And so last week, y'all, we looked at this unwrapping this gift. We talked about the gift that makes us debt free. That in fact, Jesus is that gift. Yeah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are able, and you're to name him Jesus. For He will save His people from their sins. That the reality is all of us live with a sin debt. That God is holy. God is sovereign. God is pure. But we are sinners. And the only way we come to God is through the saving work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when He saves you and me, He takes away all of our sins, past, present, and future. And we get to spend an eternity with Him. So Jesus takes away your sin debt totally and fully. This morning I want to draw our attention to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. We'll skip down just a couple of verses. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Yes, sir. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it simply says this. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth. She will deliver a son. And they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That she will give or bring forth or deliver a child. And His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I want to encourage our hearts this morning as we unwrap the subject, a special delivery. You may be seated in the presence of God. A special delivery. I don't know about you all, but for me, special deliveries aren't necessarily special like they used to be. Not special anymore. I don't mean special because someone decides to send you something by way of mail or however they send it to you. But when I say not special like it used to be, with the advent, y'all, of Amazon and FedEx and UPS and now the post office, they stepped up their game, y'all. It's like we get deliveries to our houses all the time. It's common. It's every day. Yet, especially in this season of Christmas, that you drive through the neighborhoods, y'all, and you look at some people's doorsteps and they got gifts, they got boxes everywhere, y'all. That some people's houses look like a drop zone. It's just stuff everywhere. Look at me, don't look around. Look at me. That along with this Christmas theme, y'all, of lights and decorations and trees, that now there's Amazon that's driving trucks through our neighborhood. They're prancing through like a reindeer, y'all, and they're dropping off packages like never before. That your front door looks like the North Pole, that you have gifts everywhere. So no matter what gift you get, no matter what delivery you get or don't get, here's the point. I want us to know something, that Jesus is the one special delivery that should always be exciting to us. That whatever gift you get, whatever package you get or don't get, what doesn't get dropped at your front door, I want to let you know today that God dropped at your front door and my front door, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So some 2,000 years ago, God sent a special delivery into our lives. But it was a delivery, y'all, that was destined from the foundation of the world. Before you and I were ever born, Helen, that God spoke the word that Jesus would one day show up in the world. And y'all, it was the ultimate delivery. It was the delivery of all deliveries. Why? Because God sent forth a delivery that would deliver us. He sent forth that would deliver you and me. Now, y'all know UPS, the United Parcel Service, they got this motto. It goes something like, "What can Brown do for you?" But with the special deliverer I'm talking about, the question needs to be raised, what can the blood do for you? Anybody know about the blood, anything about the blood? Y'all too quiet to me. We quiet, y'all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The blood that washes away all of our sins, a special delivery. FedEx used to have the purple promise. That was their motto. But this special delivery brings forth the perfect promise. For all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes and amen. God will do what he says he will do in his son Jesus Christ. Then H-E-B, y'all, even H-E-B, they deliver today. You don't even have to go to the grocery store to shop. Y'all, they deliver bread, but listen, God delivered the bread of life. And his name is Jesus. So we have a special delivery from God. And our verse for this morning, we're just dealing with this one verse this morning, verse 23, but it's packed with good information. It's packed with power. So in our verse for this morning, y'all, it really goes back to an Old Testament passage of scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, the mighty prophet of God, Isaiah chapter 7. That when you go back and you read Isaiah chapter 7, you find that there is this Judean king by the name of Ahaz. And Ahaz has a dilemma that sometimes we have. That he finds out that the northern kingdom of Israel and the Syrians are going to attack them. And he doesn't know what to do. I say it's our dilemma too. Because right now somebody is under attack and you don't know what to do. The things are coming against you and you don't know what to do. It's bigger than you, it's stronger than you, and you don't know what to do. That it's out of your control. That's the way it was for King Ahaz. And so God has for Ahaz, he wants to give him a sign, but Ahaz is too afraid to test God to find out what God would do on their behalf. So he sends this prophet, this mighty prophet by the name of Isaiah, to give him a sign. And Isaiah provides the sign to King Ahaz. He says this, look, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. Within the context of Isaiah chapter 7, it seems to make no sense. And many theologians still argue about this text for today. Is it really prophetic? Or it was just something that was said? I believe it's prophetic. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. So in essence, what Isaiah was saying to Ahaz, listen, before this boy, this child is born, before he knows how to reject the wrong from the right, the land of the two kings that come against you, that they will be laid to waste. They will be defeated. So in this prophecy, God is saying within a few years, King Ahaz, your enemy will be defeated. But many of us call this a double prophecy because it has an immediate historical context. That God is speaking through Isaiah and saying to King Ahaz, listen, you will get victory. Judah will get victory. But for us today, it's a better victory because it has a future context that we experience today through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah. That he's the child that was born that gives you and me victory today. So I believe that Matthew, in his writing for today, is under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit to let us know just that. That there would be a child that would be born, and his name would be called. His name is Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. What does that mean to us today? What does it mean to you that God is with us? What does it mean to you that God is with you? As you're struggling with the ups and the downs of life, how does it help you to know that God is with you? As you're dealing with sickness in your body, and it may not seem as if the doctors can do you any good, what does it mean to you that God is with you? As you're struggling in this Christmas season and your loved ones are no more, they are gone, and you seem like you're by yourself, what does it mean, though, that God is with you? When we look around us and there are wars and rumors of wars happening everywhere, what does it mean that God is with us? When we're dealing with the pain and the strain and sickness and all of this, and what does it mean to you that God is with you? I wonder if we got at least two people in the house that can really admit this. If God were not on your side, you won't know. You didn't know what you would do. If God were not on your side, you would have literally lost your mind. It's good to know that God is with us. Emmanuel. Y'all, just one word, three-word powerful meaning, that God is with us. It was a powerful meaning back then, but an even more powerful meaning to us today. Because it's through this name, it's through this person that we receive salvation. It's through this name and through this person that we receive victory. What I love about Jesus, what I love about God is his name and his nature are one. Yes. To say that God is good, by nature he is good, that God is good. Yes. That to say that God is healer, God is a healer. To say that God is joy, by nature God gives us joy. To say that God, his name is deliverer, by nature he delivers us. That his name and his nature are one. There's something about the name and the nature of God Almighty and his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm glad to know today that God is with me. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, we have no need to fear. Why? Because he's with us. The same God, the same Jesus is with us. And so I want to share just a few truths from this one verse that maybe to help us. As we go through life, not simply this season, as we go through life, we need to understand and know that God is with us. And so let this word encourage you today. The first thing I want us to see in the text is, the nuance that we get from the text is this, that Jesus showed up for us. Emmanuel, God with us, showed up. He showed up for us, Minister Terrell. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14 says, furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes, and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's John speaking. John the apostle, John the disciple who had the opportunity to handle Jesus, to speak with Jesus and to walk with Jesus. John is saying, I know him. I've seen him. I walk with him. I talk with him. I know that he's real. And it's this Jesus, this Savior that God sent into the world. Y'all, the world, that's a big word. That's a big term. That's a whole lot of people that God sent Jesus into the world. But when you think about that scripture in 1 John, look at it in a more personal way. That Sharon, not only did he send him into the world, but he sent him into your life, into my life. That Jesus showed up. He showed up in the life of Kevin. That he showed up in the life of Jackie and Karen. That he showed up in your life. That's personal, y'all. It wasn't by accident. It's by divine providence that God shows up in our lives. Let me ask you a question. So, have you ever had a package delivered to your doorstep? You know you didn't order it. You pick up the package and you see that your name is not on the package. That wasn't for you. It's for somebody else in the house. It's all good. It was for somebody else. I ain't throwing nobody under the bus. It's for somebody else. It would be deflated. How the package is show. It said your. You pick it up. You bring. It's not for you. It didn't show up for you. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had somebody in your life that did not show up for you? Y'all hear what I'm saying this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
That you thought they would be there, that at a time that you really needed them, but they did not show up for you. But here's the good news about what I'm trying to say to you and to me today, that a package showed up at your doorstep. A special delivery showed up for you and for me, and his name is Jesus. And he's God's special package that showed up at your front door, that showed up in your life. I'm so glad that Jesus showed up in my life. I'm so glad that Jesus showed up in my world. I'm so glad that Jesus continued to show up in my circumstance and in my situation. That he didn't just come, that he showed up for you and for me. John chapter 1 says that in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Then you look at verse 14 in John chapter 1, he says that the Word became flesh. It became human and it dwelt among us. Y'all, we're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
This is the Jesus that showed up. The same Jesus that showed up at God's creation, he was there. The same one that said, let there be, and it was him, Jesus was there. The same one that showed up for Abraham when God told him to leave his own country for a better country, he was there. The same one was with Moses at the burning bush, speaking from the burning, he was there, Jesus, God.
Yeah.
The same one who was with Israel as they stood at the Red Sea. And this Jesus is God. He was there with God, parted the Red Sea, and they crossed through on dry ground. This same God showed up at your doorstep, and my doorstep one day. It's a reason for us to be grateful. This same God came down from glory, born in a manger in a place called Bethlehem, a little old town called Bethlehem, as a baby. But he showed up for you, and for it was intentional. It was with purpose. God's presence in the world makes all the difference in the world. I wonder how many people in the house know when God shows up, when Jesus shows up, something happens.
Yeah.
Don't look at me strange. When he shows up, something happens. Ask a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. They called him blind Bartimaeus. But when Jesus showed up, something happened in his life. Talk to the woman with the issue of blood that when she met Jesus, when Jesus showed up, something happened. When Jesus shows up, something happens, y'all. I don't know about you, but when he showed up in my life, something happened. Then he changed me from the inside out. Something happens when Jesus shows up. He showed up in the world. And something happened. That our entire destiny was changed from sin and separation from God to eternity with him. That God's special delivery showed up to be with us. But not only that he showed up to be like us. That God in the flesh, y'all, came down. He showed up to be like us. Emmanuel, God with us. This word with, the Greek is metha. The Greek metha means being in the same place, to be with you, in the same place. It also means being in the same time frame, to be with, the same time frame. But it also means being in the same state, the same state of being. We were all on a 747 Boeing 747 together, we could say that we are with one another. We're in the same proximity. Right now, in this very moment, everyone on planet Earth that's alive right now, listen, we're alive at the same time period. But this word metha has a greater meaning. A greater meaning as it relates to Jesus. That Jesus showed up in the world in the same state as us. What are you talking about, preacher? That he showed up in human form. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. So says this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our very weaknesses, for he faced all the things that we face, but yet he was without sin. What are you saying? That Jesus showed up in the world in human form, but he showed up like us, and he experienced all the things that we experience in this human existence, in this human life. That Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. God knew what it's like to be in human form, to be cold, to suffer pain and to suffer disappointment. He knew what it was to be like us, like you and me. Y'all, this is amazing to me for at least a couple of good reasons. The first is that God wrapped himself in flesh. That God put on human form. This is what we call the incarnation. God put on flesh and blood and bones and all of that. That's amazing to me. I think about an elephant coming out of a peanut shell. That would be an impossible. So how did this great big old God that created the heavens and the earth and the entire universe get himself wrapped up into a small baby that was born in a manger? Yeah. It's amazing to me that he decided to put on human flesh and blood and to come down to be like us. Not only that, he came down to die for us, but to identify with us as well. Do you not know that he identifies with you? That he identifies with what you're going through? You ever been walking through life, going through life, and therefore they just don't identify? We love people that can identify with us. They understand where we are. They understand what we're going through. You know, so young people, let me help you, because sometimes y'all look at us and y'all just don't know. But listen, you got some OGs in the house. You got some folks that been bounding through. Yes, sir. You looking at all of this, but you just don't know. Yeah. So don't think you cannot identify with us that may be more senior. Let me put it that way. That you can identify, we can identify. Yes, sit down and chop it up with us for a minute. Yeah. We can tell you about some stuff now. We can help you out on some stuff, y'all, because we'd have been there. So Jesus can identify with us, that he has been there. He knows. He knows about hurtful relationships. Yeah. You know, he knows about people spitting the Kool-Aid on him, spitting the tea on him. Yeah. He knows about that. He knows about being tired. He knows about sweat. He knows about tears. He knows all of that. He knew all of that about us, y'all, and he still showed up in human form. He knowed our mess and our message, but he still showed up for you and for me. Yeah, yeah. So listen, no matter what season of life you're in, you have a God that can feel you. You have a Savior that can feel you, that he knows. He knows every struggle. He knows every pain. He knows about every heartache. He knows. Jesus knows, and he can feel you and me. That's why I like what the Hebrew writer goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 4. He said we can come boldly before God's throne of grace. There we can receive his mercy and his grace to help us in our time of need. That when you go before God, God's not judging you. God is not condemning you. God is not putting you down. But God gives you his grace and his mercy to help you in your time of need. Because he knows, as your great high priest, what it's like to go through. That he's been there and he knows and he understands. Listen, he's been there, y'all, and he bought the t-shirt. Last thing, y'all, when we'll be through, we can go ahead and we're going to baptize today. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. It's going to be a special delivery. A delivery that came for you and for me that showed up at our doorstep. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The greatest thing I love about this text when I think about it, this God that's with us, that Jesus showed up in the world to deliver us to another world. That God with us will take us back with him one day. That it won't always be like this. We pray even now for the community in Providence, Rhode Island. Recent shooting at Boston University. We think about the senselessness of this world and all that takes place. It makes no sense. That parents will go into this Christmas holiday with gifts already under a tree for a child, but the child is no longer. They're gone now. Yeah. That he showed up in the world. Jesus showed up in the world to take us to another world, to deliver us out of this world. John chapter 13 says this. Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples, and he's letting them know. He's saying, fellas, listen, I've been rolling with y'all for all of these years, but I got to get up out of here. I got to leave. I'm going somewhere. And so Peter's asking the question, Jesus, where in the world are you going? Because wherever you're going, that's where I want to go also. Yeah. And the disciples are with him. They want to know, Jesus, where you going? He says, where I'm going, you can't go. The only way for you to go where I'm going is really through by way of death. But he leaves them with this encouraging word over in John chapter 14 that we know so well. He says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to a way to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen, I'm coming back again. I'm coming back to get you. I'm not going to leave you down here. I'm not going to leave you orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm coming back to get you. Yeah. And they kept on saying, well, Thomas said, well, Lord, we still don't know what you're talking about. Lord, we don't know where you're going. But Jesus told him, don't worry about all of that. He said, we don't know the way, but Jesus said this. He said, listen, I am the way. I'm the truth. And I am the life. And so we need to know that today. That Jesus showed up in this world to deliver us to another world. Jesus showed up for you and me to be like us. He died for us. He returned from the grave and returned to God's glory. But he's coming back one day for you and for me. He's God's delivery, special package. He showed up on your doorstep and my doorstep. He went up to glory, but he's coming back again one day for you and for me. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had someone bring a delivery package to your house, a package to your home, and a special delivery, but you weren't at home? But they leave a sticker on the door that says, listen, we came to deliver this package, but you weren't there. But on that label, it still has some good news. It says, I'm sorry I missed you, but we're coming back. And on that sticker, it has a date and a time that they're going to return. Listen, beloved, for those of us that name the name of Jesus, that he showed up in the world one day, but he died and he rose again. And though we may not have been there when he showed up, listen, he showed up in our hearts through faith in his word, oh God. In his word that says, listen, I'm coming back for you one day. If you confess Jesus with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved and he's coming back for you and for me one day. He's going to keep his promise to you and to me. But there's a word to somebody in the house today that you haven't named the name of Jesus, that you have not received this special package, this special delivery. And here's where I drop the microphone, and here is where it rests, that you need a relationship with Jesus, that he's God's special delivery in a world where people need him, that we've sinned before God, and the only way we receive a salvation is through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you received this package today? How do you receive it today? You admit that you are a sinner in need of God's saving grace to save us from God's wrath. And in this moment, according to God's word, you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus into the world, that he died for your sins and for my sins. He rose again on the third day. That you confess this Jesus as the Lord and the Savior of your life in my life. Yeah. And that settles it. And that saves you. So when he comes back, like the Amazon truck, prancing through the neighborhood like a reindeer. When he comes back roaring louder than loud. And he comes back as a special delivery, but comes back to deliver you. Will you be ready? Will you be the package that he can pick up and take back with him to glory? It all hinges upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. The good news to us who are born again is that, listen, he promised he would not orphan us or leave us alone. That we have received the gift also of his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit that comforts us and keeps us and convicts us and leads us and guides us and teaches us. But the greater news is that he's coming back one day for you and for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your saving work. God, as we stand to proclaim the truth of your word, may it never be by great human oration, but divine proclamation. And may the word always be that Jesus saves. To the utmost that all that come to you, Father, through him, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Take my stumbling words, transform them into your powerful truth to permeate the hearts of people in this room today. That I cannot do, that we cannot do what only you can do. By the power of your Spirit, speak right now. That someone would come into a saving relationship with Jesus. Speak right now, Holy Spirit. That we move everything, every other thing out of the way, that people might see Jesus in this moment, that he is the special delivery that you sent down from glory long ago, born in a manger in Bethlehem, born as a baby, but he did not stay a baby, that he grew up, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, that he preached the kingdom, but he died. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power. The power to save, the power to deliver, the power to keep us. It's this Jesus that we preach. It's this Jesus that we proclaim. It's this Jesus that we present to those today. So while you are here in the blood is still running warm through your veins, as the old people used to say, receive him right now. Trust Jesus as your Savior, your personal Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God praise in the house today, if you would. It all comes down to this. It's not about how spectacular I am or I can be, but it's about the truth of this Bible, his word. And his word tells us that he sent his son into the world, and his world is true, his word is true. And they called him Emmanuel, God with us. And this same God is with you and me today, but it can be different in this room. For those that have received Jesus, it's a different relationship. And if you haven't received him today, according to his power and his word, receive him today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're in the room today and you feel that tug at your heart, you're not even sure what it is. You want to know more about this Jesus. Listen, we have ushers that are standing in the back of the room. They'll lead you across the hallway to room number one. They'll answer any questions that you might have. They'll tell you more about this Jesus. You feel that tug at your heart, and you know in this moment that it's God. It's the Lord knocking at the door of your heart. Won't you let him in this moment? Won't you get up from where you are in this moment? As hands are extended, and follow them across the hallway to room number one. If you're already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, worship with other believers, that Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. Why don't you just get up from where you are in this moment? Hands are extended. Won't you come?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.